Grace and peace to you from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Christ, our Savior. Amen. Fellow redeemed, if you were to grab your globe and go a little bit to the right of the south end of India, you would find some islands, the Andaman Islands. And one of those islands is North Sentinel Island. It's near Myanmar and Thailand, out in the middle of the ocean. And it's completely off limits. You can't go there. No one can go there because the indigenous peoples there will quite simply kill you the minute you step onto the beach. This has happened many times. Fishermen are occasionally forced by weather aground there and they're never heard from again. Not too long ago, maybe you remember hearing the story of a missionary who thought that he could go there, but he too was killed immediately. Would you go there? I know I wouldn't. Would you step onto that beach? Well, that would just be plain foolish, wouldn't it? But would you go there if you received word that the chief would allow you to go ashore? I still wouldn't. What assurance would there be that what I've heard is actually true? The answer means life or death. But what if the chief quietly left the island and came to me personally and invited me? Well, I'd still be pretty skeptical, to say the least. How would I know that he's truly the chief of that faraway place? How would I know that he's trustworthy? Well, what if he came with eyewitnesses testifying to who he is? What if he wrote the invitation and sealed it with his seal? Perhaps you can see some connection now to what happened at the crucifixion. There was also an inscription over him. This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. These are the words of your Son, and they are true. We ask that by them you would strengthen our faith, assure us of everlasting life, and give us that good message to share with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. The robber next to Jesus was quickly coming to the threshold of death, coming to the beach of that island. And he worried about what was going to happen to him. But the king had come to do what had to be done to save him. The king was with him. The king spoke his invitation to this man, and the man listened faithfully. Today we should be asking ourselves, will the king welcome us into his kingdom? We should ask that question because we all are fast approaching the threshold of death. We all are nearly to that beach, closer than even we know. And we too should give a thought to the future, to what will happen to us. What will happen to our children? What will happen to the people around us? And we too should recognize the truth about Jesus, that he is the King and Judge of all. Will he welcome us into his kingdom? That's an important question. And to answer that all-important question, we have to first consider about how this king of ours is silent and does what needs to be done, what must be done to save us. And then secondly, we want to think about how this king has spoken his invitation to us, and finally, we should listen to him, quite simply. The prophet Isaiah once wrote, about 800 years before the events of our text, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people." Jesus was that lamb that Isaiah was writing about. Jesus came to offer himself as a sacrifice, and he did not make a protest when it happened. In fact, the scriptures tell us that he had the authority to willingly lay down his life and to take it up again. This was the purpose for his visitation. This is why he came, to take upon himself our humanity, to really be one of us, to be born, to live, and to die for us. And he did all of this without fanfare. He was silent as he did what needed to be done. The guilt that was born of our sins had to be addressed. And God in his wisdom did this without a thundering condemnation to hell, not with fire and brimstone, as we deserve, but by this quiet man on the center cross. He himself, God, think of that, the infinite one, he came to save us, and of course he had no sin of his own. No one could bring an accusation against him. Yet he willingly took upon himself the wages of our sins. He was there to die for us. He was about to die on the cross and on the third day rise again from the dead, so that there would be no mistaking the significance of his life and death and resurrection. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And it goes on to say, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And this king, who was the Lamb, this man who was God in the flesh, he turned to that thief to issue his invitation in person to him. This man had believed in Jesus. This man knew that he was getting what his sinful robbing deserved. He was a robber. And yet he also knew that Jesus was so much more than just a man there on that middle cross. The man somehow had heard about Jesus. We don't know how. And he trusted that Jesus could help him. He knew that Jesus was a king. Because remember, he said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus, with such compassion, he comforts the man with the truth. "Today you will be with me in paradise." He doesn't sugarcoat anything. This man was about to die. And yet he says to him, "You will live, and you will be with me, and we will be where God intended mankind to be in the first place, paradise." Think of what Jesus was saying to him, this comfort, these words. They weren't just for the man there on the cross. They're for you too. This is precisely what we have. His invitation. His words to us. They were written down for this very specific purpose, to communicate that invitation to you today, 2,000 years later. Remember, Jesus didn't do these things for a select few. He did them for the world. He did this work for all the world. That's what John is telling us in those famous passages from John chapter 3. He did it for all people and for all races and all nationalities and languages and peoples of all times, of all places, and that includes you and me. This is why he tells us not to forsake the gathering around his word. This is exactly why we have a cross to bear with him. This is precisely why his very body and blood, the same body that was given on the cross, the same blood that was shed on the cross from his brow and back and side, it's here for us today in this place because God says so. And why? Not just for a remembrance, it's that too, but as Jesus himself says, for the remission of our sins. You can say that we are at the cross, even there in the place of the robber, every Sunday, to hear Jesus make his invitation to us with those startling and wonderful and comforting words, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." So listen to what he says. Don't just let the sound wash over your eardrums, but listen to what he says carefully. Remember what God said at Jesus' transfiguration there on the mountain. "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Listen to him right now, today. This is important. It's more important than the everyday tasks of our lives. It's more important than the sentimental celebrations and nostalgic remembrances of a family life. It's more important than traditions. It's more important than the passing things of this world. It's more important than the passing game on the field. These are words of eternal life. These are the invitation of the King of Kings. There aren't any more important things to hear. His words will endure forever, the scriptures say. His will for us will never change. And think about it. Of all the things that you know in this world, only that word, and that word implanted in hearts, is eternal. All the passing things of this world will be gone, but his word will endure, and the people who have heard and believed his word will be with us in paradise forever. No death, no sin. All the fortunes accumulated and all the talents that are honed and all the education and power and authority and friendships and honor that we know, every desirable thing in this world is passing away. Death will take it all. The last day will change everything. Everything that we so often strive for in this world will be gone. But these people around us, not just here in our congregation, but the people that we're in touch with in our daily lives, our neighbors as the scriptures call them, they might be with us in paradise because they heard Jesus' word through you and believed it. Think of what a privilege you have, what a privilege I have. But it's not because of our words, it's because they're his words. It's because Jesus has made the invitation to them that he would be their Savior. That's why he gives faith through his word, to believe on him in life and death and to grow day by day in grace and holiness and at last to inherit eternal life. These words are worth our hearing. And these people are worth our time and effort. Not much else really is. The Lord certainly gives us many things as blessings for our earthly journey, but we're not to use them strictly for ourselves. We're to use them to spread his word. We're to use the time that we have to share the good news about Christ and what he's done for us, to point people to the King of Kings who so quietly and silently went about his business there on the cross to save us. The souls around us, That's the important thing that God would direct our efforts towards. And don't forsake the gathering. Where two or three are gathered in his name, doesn't he promise to be there with us? Church isn't an optional thing for us. It's the place where we gather to hear his word, to hear his invitation again and again, to be reminded of what he's done, because we so quickly forget. We gather here to receive his sacrament, where we uphold and strengthen each other with the word of eternal life. This gathering is more than just a bunch of people in a building. We're here to listen to what Jesus has to say to us and to receive him. Look at how Jesus does this on the cross. He doesn't beam it into that robber next to him. He doesn't beam faith into the man, but he speaks these tender and truthful words with authority. Will he welcome you into his kingdom? Yes, he will, with open arms. You've heard his invitation. Listen to him. You don't ever need to wonder, because Jesus himself has come to you, not just in general with his word, although he's done that, not just personally when he came to you by his spirit and gave you faith through the words or baptism, but even in that bond of body and blood given and shed for you. Fellow redeemed, fear not to step across the threshold. Fear not to step upon that beach. Fear not that new kingdom beyond this world, for there lies not death, but life at the invitation of our Lord. Paradise restored by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for you. Don't forget that. Listen to him. Amen. Please rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.